We're joined on today's Ag Show by Brad Betker. He is the chair of the Alberta Oak Growers Association and also a producer as well. First off, Brad, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay, Brad, so I guess the first question I have for you is that obviously so many industries and farmers face so many challenges during the pandemic. I guess also it's not just the Alberta oak growers, but I guess the prairies oak growers. So at least specifically in Alberta, what were some of the big challenges that oak farmers faced during the pandemic?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And just to talk about this, I wouldn't say we were as affected as a lot of other industries. Thankfully, we're kind of sheltered somewhat from a lot of the industries where you know you have coworkers and that type of thing more so. On the big picture, the demand for oats really kind of through the whole COVID thing actually kind of grew with more people cooking and trying to do more home cooking at home and stuff. So prices have remained pretty solid. In regards to our exports, they were strong. We had some excessive drought in Chile, which also added also to the improvement kind of in the base price of our oat exports. Transportation, once they kind of got things figured out from their end, the railways and that side of things with how they were going to manage through COVID, we've actually been able to move stuff pretty well considering a lot of other commodities such as oil really slowed down through this downturn. Obviously not near as much need for petroleum products when nobody's able to drive and go very far.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there was some initial challenges with labor just in terms of larger, I guess, farms finding workers and figuring out exactly what they needed to do and follow in regards to safety and then, you know, securing the PPE that they needed, personal protective equipment, so like all the masks and hand sanitizer and all that kind of jazz. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of a shortfall there at the beginning, but was manageable. I would say one of the things that was a challenge was on the research side of things. Things got shut down pretty good, especially within like agriculture, Agri-Food Canada. Just due to the safety protocols and being part of the federal system, but they were able to continue on fairly well, but it definitely slowed things down and it probably regressed the researchers and their research work somewhat last year. So we're hoping that can sort of get figured out through this coming year, and then they've definitely had lots of time to plan in that. And it seems like, particularly talking with like Kirby Nielsen, he's the researcher for oats in Brandon, and they've been able to basically manage or plan to manage through these COVID guidelines in this coming year. So hopefully it doesn't affect a whole lot. So overall, I wouldn't say that it affected us a lot, but obviously more on the personal probably side and the mental health side than anything.
Yeah, obviously, I guess a lot of farmers are having mental health issues, and we have heard that from them as well. I guess in terms of oats, you mentioned that there was a drought in Chile, and I know lately the Canadian ag prices have really been enjoying some highs lately. Is oats among that group right now?
Yes. No, we have. They've been actually historically strong throughout this year. I would say it started to improve kind of at the same time as a lot of like the canola and that through kind of through harvest, which is not normal. Normally prices kind of suppress a bit, but through harvest and into early winter, they really started to pick up a bit of steam. And there's some solid prices. A big part of that is, yeah, Chile having had a drought, who's not usually a net importer, but exporter, they've had to source some oats, and because of Grupo Vida, which is a large miller in Mexico, has connections or mills down in Chile as well. And so I think a large part of our marketing campaign that we've done with Mexico and the connections that the Prairie Oak Growers Association has been implemented in Mexico, I think has had some impact in terms of our oats ending up in Chile versus maybe somebody else's. Another part of that too is Australia's had some challenges in terms of their growing conditions over the last few years, so they haven't been quite as aggressive, obviously, on their export side of things. So we've been able to fill a lot of that from all Canada. So that's definitely helped our oat price as well. Like I had mentioned, some more consumption within North America, which has helped with people being at home more and cooking more at home versus going out. And so that would be some of the major reasons why.
Yeah, okay, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And what are some of the things that oat farmers want the association to advocate for in 2021, as well as maybe some of the goals?
Yeah, what we're trying to do here through Alberta Oat Growers Commission and then by association POGA is taking our growers' dollars and investing them in, obviously, the marketing side is where we're really focused on. As you can guess, you know, if we can, you know, build the demand, it will only help the price. And with oats being a small crop in terms of acreage in Western Canada, there's lots of room to grow in terms of production. You know, it's not a scenario like canola where, you know, the acreage is kind of at the max of what it can be. So
right.
Got to come through, you know, yield gains or, you know, disease management, you know, those kind of types of things, harvest losses. But on the oat side of things, I mean, we've had some really good varieties that have been developed lately, as well as Morgan Oats, which has been around for a long time, still is a tried and true variety. But they, along with that, we can increase the amount of acreage to really match any demand. So we've really been pushing to increase the markets that we've been able to sell, you know, with our routes just going offshore, but then also to improve the value-added processing here in Canada, which has increased quite a bit over the last little while. Our oat mill use here in Canada, what was it now? I believe, well, the human consumption side of it, according to Randy Stryker, has increased over the past 5 years at 2.6%. So I'm
awesome.
Seeing some increases that way. Some new things like oat milk, and you've been in the grocery store and go to
I've
the dairy aisle, and you like oat yogurt, and there's oat ice cream and creamers, and lots of different different products that are starting to show up, especially with the issues with gluten and oats not having gluten. So that side of things has taken off. So yeah, we've been trying to build those markets to increase the amount used here and abroad, and then also just as I said, the value-added processing here within Canada. Another area is obviously research. We continue to fund breeding and trying to increase varieties or improve varieties to better handle disease. We're also now, you know, pushing the breeders to focus on standability and shelling and shatter resistant. Because going forward, as you well know, there's more and more issues with using glyphosate and pre-harvest applications of glyphosate. So how long that's going to be in our toolbox, even though, you know, the science says that there's no issues. Sometimes science doesn't win out. So we want to try and get ahead of the ball and have varieties that if we're not able to, you know, use the pre-harvest glyphosate, that we actually have varieties that, you know, hold the oats while standing so that we can still straight combine them. Because as soon as you swath them during any kind of area where weather is inclement, you know, and you have sun and rain or snow, and a lot of the times, I mean, the issue is you start to get toxins and that, you know, molds in the grain. And so that's never a good sign or a good thing. And obviously, there's too much, it can't go for the human consumption side and would have to get used in the feed side or just be a waste product at that point if it's too bad. So we're definitely pushing on that side. And there's lots of other interesting research that's going on as well or being funded from Dr. Chen at the University of Alberta. She's been developing or working on nutritionally enhanced plant-based milk alternative beverages for the Canadian oats, and then as well with that, the study of its hypoglycemic effects. So again, using oats in healthy health food type scenario, and then as well looking for fractionated oat ingredients as a source of food product innovation, which we've seen one video of hers, which was really interesting, and just the characteristics of the oat can actually act a lot like the way it, like egg white does in terms of like coagulating, and using that like how you could use it potentially like how to hold a hamburger, you know, patty together or different things like that within the just the food manufacturing side of things. So investing in those things. And then as well outside of obviously within the research, there's lots of research going on in terms of trying to like reduce or understand crown rust and reducing that, which is a big one that affects oats, not so much in Alberta, but Saskatchewan and Manitoba, and different things of how to incorporate oats within like intercropping scenarios, as that's becoming more and more common with the regenerative ag side of things. So wanting to be on that part of it, as well as, you know, like how can we, you know, get wild oats to start growing a little bit earlier and that to be able to deal with it before seeding so that we don't have as much issues, because that is a major problem for oat acreage, just wild oats, and where can you plant oats without having, you know, a disaster show up for you. And then some of the other smaller things that aren't quite as big of a percentage of our time or funds, but are important. The communication, obviously, we've put out the Oat Scoop. It's a quarterly newsletter that goes out to all of our growers to let them know kind of what we're doing and where we're wanting to go, and then allows them the ability to see that and provide feedback. We're, you know, egg in the classroom. We have a website that we're all under, all the provincial organizations, Alberta Oats, Sask Oats, and Manitoba Oats, under POGA, www.poga.ca, that people can go to see everything that we're doing, and then obviously our annual general meetings that we have. Then in regards to policy, we go to Ottawa typically once a year. Obviously with COVID, we haven't been able to do that, but we still had a Zoom meetings with a number of MPs and like the Canadian transportation industry and agriculture, Agri-Food Canada, a number of departments. And yeah, I guess that would be the majority of it. A lot of the times we've been able to have meetings when we've gone to Ottawa with the actual ag minister. We've been able to lobby for oat farmers in that regard, which we found has been really positive, and had some really great connections to the fact that we've been asked a number of times to stand before or give testimony to a standing committee on transportation, and there was one other one, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but so that's been part of it. And as well, we're also members of the Canadian Grain Growers of Canada, so that helps us as they're in Ottawa all the time to be you know, involved in the policy making with all growers across Canada. And so then a couple just little partnerships that we have, Keep It Clean Canada, which is important, which is, you know, making sure growers are using pesticides at the right rates at the right time to ensure that we don't have, residue levels that are above what is allowed and what has been deemed, you know, reasonable or acceptable on science, and, you know, that side of things, to make sure that our growers are doing things in the right way. And then, yeah, and then the other one would be the Grain Safe, Be Grain Safe. So that one, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's a group that's going around and showing how farmers can be entrapped in grain, and then if they are, how the safe way about getting them out. I'd say that's kind of the long-winded version
Wow.
of what we're all going and trying to do, and trying to obviously use our oak growers' dollars as best we can, and leveraging money from the government. That's one thing that this organization has been really, really good at doing, is leveraging industry and government dollars to really improve. It's well over 1 to 10 for what growers' dollars have, what they've paid into the organization. So.
All right, excellent. Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and hopefully you can go and enjoy some oat products.
Yeah, maybe some oatmeal. I always love that with my breakfast in the morning. Awesome. This is Brad. This is Brad Becker. He is the Alberta director of the Prairie Oat Growers Association, and this is our Ag Show. And awesome, sir. Thank you so much for the time today. Great chat.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.